Welcome to the Backwards In Fact at Twitter and Gmail under that same name. I have just one question for you. How soon is now?
So you never get a second chance to make a first impression. But I think that's a great word to talk about, especially on the aftermath of that hermetically sealed Gnostic podcast that we listened to that I know affected us a lot last time. But that was one of the words that came up in that podcast a lot, was impressions and being mindful of your impressions. And ever since we talked, I feel like I am being more mindful of my impressions, and it's actually somewhat impressive. But it does seem like these are happening all the time. They're happening whether you're aware or not. And the aftermath of an impression has some form of manifestation that I think is worthy to talk about in mechanical spiritualism.
Makes you wonder if it's almost like examining your presence from the other side. You know, you examine it like after the physical awakening, and you're like, yeah, I'm present for the most part. I'm present. And then you start examining it from the, like, the reverse side in, like from the inner city, like the psychological city. And you're like, wait a second, maybe I'm like 5% awake. Because if you really start, which this podcast is pretty much going to be about dream work, if you really start on the dream work path, it's almost like, in a way, kind of a mirror, like your subconscious. So yeah, you can have an awakening, but you know, there's kind of a lag behind. And then, you know, I feel like I've come leaps and bounds with understanding of subconscious and what that is. And you just really start to discover like how much you manifest all the time, like literally all the time, and how much you're setting up your dream work all the time by, and I figured out that, you know, it's almost like from the front side, like the physical, like 5% you're happy. And then you start working from the inner city, inner psychological, and you're like, wow, I still have a lot of work to do.
I want to make sure, just so I don't forget, but there's a great moment in The Matrix where Neo's in the car with Trinity and Morpheus, and this is after his physical awakening, and he drives by the restaurant, and it, you can see the environment causes an impression in his mind, and you can see him pick his head up, and he's like, I used to eat there. So he's engaging with that impression. But you can tell he's very non-reactive, and he turns over to Trinity and he looks at her and says, really good noodles. Almost revealing that I had the impression and I'm aware of the impression. And then, of course, Trinity says, the Matrix cannot tell you who you are, which leads into Morpheus talking about trying not to think of it in terms of right and wrong. But it's a great example in the movie how, just like you were saying, it's happening all the time. So especially like as you're moving through the environment, I mean, that's on one level. So like if you drive by a place that you recognize that has some sort of memory, then that's immediately going to be triggered. And you can kind of see how you move around in the environment and you're constantly being triggered by the historical value of the environment. That's the one level of impressions. But if you're not paying attention to those, because they're not all positive, and maybe one time that's a place where you got in a car accident. Maybe one time that's a place where, you know, you lost your dog. I mean, so they bring up good feelings and bad feelings. And the way the environment interacts with you is just a constant barrage of impressions all the time.
Yeah, I don't know on the last podcast if we said or we talked about the podcast that was so meaningful to us both that really gave us the idea of impressions and what it means to wake up in the astral. And the name of the podcast was Wisdom Weavers. I think you did mention it. The name of it is The Mind Wants a Master, The Soul Wants a Lover with Someone. And that was, and I, even to this day, like that timing of that podcast and the synchronistic value that I got out of it was the best listen I've ever had. It's 4 hours long. I've listened to it twice. The first time was perfect. Second time was just, you know, had a long car ride and wanted to let it sit in some more. But I've never had a more synchronistic, meaningful podcast. And it was from an anonymous person, which I'm sure we could find out who it is, but it doesn't matter. Like the messenger in this, the name doesn't matter. But what come through where we're at on our path was exactly what I needed to hear at this point on the path. Like when you're pushing forward from spiritual to mystical, I think you have to have these moments in time where you have this synchronistic podcast that you turn on that just, you know, helps, just gives you that push, gives you that heartfelt direction that just like pierces you right in the chest. And at this particular time on the path for us, it hit me like that, like a ton of bricks. I mean, I couldn't stop listening. It was phenomenal. One of the things that I got after it, the greater understanding of the subconscious, and specifically at the end, it got kind of comical, but is the impression of jumping, which is if you can come to your senses in the astral and you actually jump and your awareness takes over and you're able to experience consciousness as no limit, that's when all the magic happens. So for me, I learned that during the day, you know, most of us have jobs, so some people are able to do this kind of work full time, but the impressions from day to day, from starting from getting out of bed to what the mind does day in and day out, it's really something that you have to pay attention to and really throw in those meaningful, heartfelt impressions. And from the understanding that we got from this anonymous person was that eventually one day you're going to be sleeping and you're in the astral and you're going to imprint on that subconscious and you're going to jump, and that's when all the magic's going to happen. So, I mean, it was exactly everything I needed to hear. And then since then I can't say I've had like rapid synchronicities, but I've had super meaningful ones. Like they're just, they've almost involved the whole family. It's been really bizarre. I watched a documentary on Netflix called The Octopus Teacher. I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
No,
it's pretty good. It's not meant to be like a spiritual documentary, but it's very well made. This guy dived down where an octopus lived for like 325 days straight. No oxygen tank, all free diving. And they just examined the relationship between a human and an octopus. And, you know, they establish a relationship together. Just a really well-made documentary. For some reason, I think octopuses are pretty cool. I mean, it's been said that all their tentacles contain consciousness in every single one of them. They're supposed to be like super smart. But I had so many impressions on this documentary that it kept happening throughout the week. Where I see this octopus. So there's America's Got Talent. This kid did a magic show, and at the very end, like, there's balloons everywhere. His whole act was based on a card that had an octopus on it. So the whole family's involved in on that. They're like, oh my gosh, we've been talking about an octopus all week. So then we had more family over. I believe it was today. And one of the family members has a brain injury. So she carries these cards around. She's sitting on the couch. They're like play cards, but the same thing that's on America's Got Talent or whatever. They're cards, but instead of ace or jack or king, they have like this letter for this animal. She has 100 of those cards in her hand. She pulls out one, hands it to KK, and it's O for octopus. And KK goes, look, it's another octopus. So it's like octopuses are raining down with synchronicities ever since I watched that documentary on octopuses. And it's just kind of making the point.
They have a special place in my heart ever since the OA, for sure.
It's funny you said OA, because that podcast I just listened to today, they talked about the OA at the end. The one I think it was the one after I sent you about the breath work. It was a guy talking about meditation and dream work. And at the end, they started to discuss the OA.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I think my impression story, yeah, I'm definitely, I think what it's revealed to me is I really need to double my effort on the impression work. And that's really just trying to get in that phase of like, am I dreaming? Like, I still have, like, you know, the trees and the birds. You know, the trees are great. Like, if you just stop and you just look at the tree, I mean, it's the impression of stillness of being. It's a great impression to take in. That's there all the time for me. And then you have the birds, which are, you know, whistling attention, which leads to an impression of gratitude, which is also super helpful. But trying to figure out how to generate them internally to a more questioning spirit of, am I dreaming, or where am I right now? Like, basically the impression of the keyless soul, and really trying to double my effort there, because I saw it. I was tested, and I went over that podcast that we did last week today, which was super interesting, because I can really see how it affected me the rest of these 2 weeks that we had off there. But I mean, it needs to be said, I mean, on this program, I even mentioned it last time we talked, I've prayed for birds in my dreams. Now, I mean, like, I specifically sit down, you know, I talk to the Holy Spirit, I talk to the God that's right here with me right now, I talk to the universe, I talk to the vibration, however you want to say it, but I put the energy and the effort into asking for birds in my dream and making the point that I welcome them there because they're so good at whistling me to attention in my waking day. So I had a dream a couple of nights ago, and I'm coming home to my house, and there's three crows sitting on the power line. And one of the crows has gray eyes, as if it's like a blind crow. But when I looked at it, you know, like if you see like the person with the blind eyes, sometimes it's weird. It's almost like they can see you better than like somebody that can see. It's like an intuitive feeling. But that's what I got from this bird, where there was this like an intuitive feeling that he was really looking at me. And I stopped. And I took it all in. I looked at the birds and I was just like, oh, there's my birds. And to double down on this, I go through my front door. So I'm my front door, and on the gable of my house, a raven shoots out and starts to fly like right in front of me and comes and does a whole circle around my head, as if like if you drew like a straight line up through the top of my head, it comes in circles right around me. Now, I don't know if you've seen a raven in flight. Like this is it's an intense sight to see, because when they spread their wings, they're a huge bird, and they have it looks like five finger feathers. It's very, very almost like humanoid when they spread their wings. I saw one at work like earlier this year, and the first thought in my head was like, that's a man. It's just the way they look. It's very, very weird, humanoid in flight. It's just that five and five. It really the impression triggers humanity in the bird for somehow. So this bird does a circle around my head and goes right in my front door, where my daughter is waiting for me. And she has a box, and she catches the bird in a box. And immediately, like, I get angry. I'm like, that's Logan, that's the bird. Sweetie, that's the bird. And she, like, runs upstairs. And I come in, and I'm like, you can't mess with the bird. You can't. And she comes downstairs, and she opens the box. And instead of the bird, it's a bunch of hats. And she goes, it's not real, Dad. It's not real. And nowhere in this time, in this whole story, at no point did I know I was dreaming. I'm just dumbfounded by it. Like in terms of answered prayers and I mean, answered in such a drastic way, in my opinion. And I know better. Like, I didn't even take it as a disappointment. Like, I did a really good job of just being amused by it. Like, that is crazy. Like, I didn't know I was dreaming. But my point is, the way we have to double down on that key of soul work in terms of always examining the consciousness to be clued in and asking that question, am I dreaming? I thought the birds would have done it automatically. It just didn't seem to work that way. But there's also something weird about the timing. And I know, because you were talking about this last week, where it was very, very similar, where when she said, is it real? Like the consciousness was coming in hard, but it's like the synchronicity is that's right when the alarm goes off. So it's almost like the dream world is playing with you. Like as your consciousness is coming in, it's completely synchronized for you to actually wake up.
Right.
And that's happened a couple of times now, but I'm starting to notice that more and more. Where like, man, like I'm so on the trail and it's almost toying with me.
Or it could be possible that's what's causing you to actually physically wake up. Like it's too intense. Like, and it's almost like you're reacting before, you know, Neo takes the gunshot, there's no reaction, but there's a reaction, and the reaction is open your eyes physically. That's happening before. Remember, there's a gap where he gets shot in the chest where he knew it was coming, but the eyes open, like that happens a split second before. So it's there. It's just a minor shift. It's just a little bit of a holdout.
I agree, because that goes back to like Phoenix Reborn. Like it was enough to where like the consciousness jolted me awake. Like that's definitely true. But these are like weird. And I just remember because you were you basically had like something that was almost the same last week. And it's just happened too many times where I'm like, that is so weird. And so that process that you're talking about, which I 100% agree with, seems to be in time with the actual alarm. So you're right. Like it's internally, like I'm waking up, but I open my eyes, bam, and the alarm goes off.
Could be some type of biological clock too, that we set those, and it probably completely screws up a lot of timing. Because, I mean, you could set biological clock for 12 o'clock and, you know, your eyes open, right? It's so much you're saying wake up at 12. What are you doing? You're saying wake up at 12. Like you're timing wake up and wake up at 12. So we're far more advanced than we give ourselves credit for. But there are little things we just have to work out. Well, I wanted to talk about the synchronicities with jumping as well, because I had some just a crazy day. I think it was last week where I had listened to this podcast within probably 5 days of each other. And I get the impressions of jumping. I get that's another key of soul as well, almost a little bit more intense than key of soul. Because it's actually, he's, you know, basically saying enthusiasm, like jump like you've never jumped before. Do that as much as you can during the day and, you know, probably look like an idiot doing it. And because you got to do it so many times. But during that whole process, it was the same day that I listened to the podcast, and I have a trampoline in the backyard. And it was sagging, so you could tell that it was not in working condition from the road. And someone called me and told me where you can order a new, what do they call them, screen. And they told me where to order one. And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, I had just listened to two podcasts, jumping. I'm like, yes, I understand that impression. I hear you. Like, that's exactly what we need to hear. Enthusiasm, impressions. I'm getting a greater understanding of the subconscious. It's like you have to beat the subconscious during the day at its own game, right? And the clue was like jumping. Like, that's perfect. And someone called me and said, it told me where to order my trampoline. It'd been sitting back there for 6 months. I hadn't done nothing with it. And I was like, it was like a kick in the ass. Like, yeah, why don't you just fix your trampoline? Because then you can go out there and jump even higher with more enthusiasm. And it'll be great because you got bad knees, but trampoline, it'll be a little easier on your knees. But why not jump higher? So I can't say that synchronicities have been like just off over and over and over and over like they have been at some points, but the level of an impact that they've had when they happen are, they've just been off the charts. And which on the subject of synchronicities, I was just, it was a day I didn't have too much to do. And I was like, why haven't I joined the Gene Hart Discord? So I'm like, you know, it's very inexpensive. So I just went on there. I was like, I mean, that's probably a group that, you know, we need to be a part of just for like-mindedness and on that path. So I joined it and introduced myself, and I told Gene that basically he was like our third brother, and, you know, in a roundabout way, you know, we feel like we know him. And then he responded with a message of, I'm sure he's slapped us around in the astral a couple of few times, but we had a moment together where he wrote back, you know, a paragraph of what's going on in the inner worlds. And it was a synchronistic moment in that regard too. So they've just been really, really impactful and really meaningful when they happen.
Yeah, I guess we have like the mechanics in terms of how to make the impressions clearly. I mean, with the key of soul, you know, subject, object, location, I think that's the big takeaway. I'm just a little bit surprised by like the level of engagement you need with like that subconscious programming. Cause I really thought that, you know, a bird would do it. A bird there would do it. I thought it'd be like at that very second, because I feel like that's what's happening in my day. Wasn't even like confidence of like what's going to be happening in the dream world, but what a bird is to me during the day is a reminder back to attention. So it's very interesting to me, like the level of engagement you need with this subconscious programming in order to be clued in and able to ask yourself if you're dreaming at the right time. It's, I don't know if it's like number of impressions or just like awareness of all impressions. Cause there's definitely stuff you can do, like, you know, watching something on TV that's like, I still watch scary stuff with my son at times, and you can see like some of the negative impressions that you're capable of, you know, like an impression will lead to a thought, and the thought will actually have a reaction in the body. So you can see like root reactions. You can feel like tingly reactions. Like there's a lot going on with the impressions, like at all times. And that's really the only thing I can think about it in terms of, and it's not even, I've done a really good job of not even considering that a failure. Cause I'm just impressed by the fact that, you know, you pray for, this result. I mean, it's such a tangible answer to prayer as well. So there's no reason to look at it as anything other than positive. But it also, it reveals like an engagement with the subconscious and a discipline that I clearly don't quite understand yet. But one of the possible answers to that might be like to the level we're being drowned in impressions all the time.
They're all around us. And even after the excitement of that, I feel like I've failed miserably in execution of the amount of impressions I need during the day for it to make an impact on my subconscious. So having given all of that, it's kind of like the seeing the birds in the dream, and it's been there, and I've been doing impressions, but there's, you know, from 9 to 10, I didn't do an impression. From 10 to 11, I didn't do an impression. Oh, 11:30, do an impression. You know, it's not enough. It's not, it's not enough. Like, even with it on the forefront of my mind, it's not enough yet. I have to do better for it to manifest in the dream world.
I mean, that's why The Doors was always so good. And I think we both did feel like at first, like trying to remember when you go through a door and you, which basically just reveals like, geez, that's harder than I thought it was going to be. But then as time goes on and you famously saying like, it doesn't really have anything to do with memory. That's just a seed you plant. So you think it's a, like on the level of finding more and more triggers like that and keep planting seeds to where you're not trying to remember, you're just receiving impressions.
It's a good point because like KK is, I consider her to be pretty advanced just because I know she's doing stuff that she doesn't even understand what she's doing. And that's advanced to me because she's out of her own way, which is advanced. And she found me in a dream because she was scared. I think she was having an astral experience and then she was trying to find me and she found me in which I wasn't awake, but I was opening doors in a hallway. That's all we've been talking about. So I think they're real. Like I was just hard on myself like 5 minutes ago about jumping, but we're probably like doing jumping jacks in our dreams. We just don't even remember. Like we're waiting for that jump because she found me and it, she said it was like a, this is her words. Like she's never even been to a dorm room, but you know, dorm rooms is just doors like down a hallway. She said we were in like dorm room style. I don't even know where she got that name from, but what she described is I was opening doors. And I opened up one door and there was 12 people and she was like, Daddy, don't go in there. And I told her, it's fine. It's fine. And she describes to me like, you know, she'll be talking to people and they don't hear her. And I said, if you ever do that with me and it sounds like I'm not listening, you have to get right in my eyes. You have to directly look in my eyes and like have an experience with me and tell me to wake up, shake my shoulders or tell me to jump. Just understand that I'm not awake. I'm awake, but I'm not awake. That's the only thing I wanted her to understand because she's talked to other people and she was like, Dad, it's like they don't even hear me. And I'm like, that's exactly it. Like, because in the astral, if you talk to someone and it's like they don't hear you, they're just walking around like zombies. They're just in their subconscious. So I think she's advanced as far as that goes. I just found it funny that I was somewhere in no man's land opening doors.
Yeah.
Like just waiting to get shot or I'm waiting to get the cue to jump. But I think the impressions are working. It's just we don't have a full recollection of dream. I mean, we download as much as we can. But even in those downloads, what are we getting, 10 or 20%? You know, 30%? I don't know.
Yeah, I do think it's a key. I know how the doors grew on me, and so I think you want to try to build more in. But then you know when I look at my day and you have like the trees, which for me like the trees and the birds, like when you say like, you know, 9:30 and you don't have an impression again to like 11:30. Like for me, like I feel like the trees and the birds are so consistent. So I don't know if I'm falling asleep to like my own positive impressions. Because that seems to be like, in terms of like dream progression, like this character that I'm involved with at night now, is I'm clearly identified with like fully, like from what I can tell, like that's me. But that's different than the state I was at before, where I was running into like all these versions where I'm like, I don't identify with that because he doesn't have enough consciousness. That was basically it. Like having to see myself in different levels of unconsciousness and not identifying with it fully. But now when I'm there, it seems to be me. Like I can't tell what it is about him that's not me. So I mean, I don't think there's anything. And then when I think about like the impressions and how much I'm doing, I'm like, I can't quite understand why it's not jolting me, but.
Yeah. The heartfelt impression of asking for birds. I mean, you know, whatever you want, you could ask for. Yeah, it seemed like I had a lot of success when I had a goal in mind, too. I was like, go meet up with Kane, go to Kane's house, you know, and that was a solid impression right before I went to sleep. And it seemed like there was some success there. But you might even ask for, whether it's me or not, someone to face you face to face. You know, like I may ask for, I need to meet up with Kane, or, and you know, you tell me to jump and look into my eye, kind of like I did with KK. Like I gave her the impression. I said, if you get scared, like she's obviously like in the astral, like playing with girls in the backyard. There's like three of them that can do this in the general vicinity of 25 miles, I guess. But I told her, I said, if you get to that point and you get back, I imprinted that. It seems like, but the birds is perfect for you. I think the birds is eventually going to do the trick for you. But I'm curious to taking it a step further, like inviting someone in to, you know, that's yeah, exactly what Gene did with Master Samuel, correct? I mean, that's how they ascend, if I'm not mistaken. Or are they already in the astral when they do that?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not positive about it, but yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. I've got another good dream story that
this was last night. Haven't
heard yet. Yeah.
This is the one you're telling me about that you're going to save.
Yeah.
I'm anxiously awaiting.
And so it's three. It's three dreams. And it's a good example of like what I'm doing now. And I've had some really good dream activity. And it's pretty typical, but this is what I'm talking about, where like you look at it and it's like, how? And again, like at this point, I just stay in my own like amusement and I just try to remain grateful, and I try not to like internalize things in terms of like success and failure. Like I just take it one step at a time. Like no matter what, like at this point, like I lay down and like I've turned my day into night and I've my night into day. Like, so something has clicked, and there's definitely a lot of stuff to process every morning, regardless. So I just try to remain grateful that there's experience happening. But out of so there's three dreams. One is I'm with somebody. Like when I can't figure out like who that person is, a lot of times I assume it's you. I can't really confirm it was you, but it was me and another person. And there was an antagonist that like steals a girl and takes a girl like into a mountain. And so we go chase this girl and try to get her back. It's like this classic, like rescue story, but we kind of I don't know. We don't move fast enough. So like they get a head start on us and like they go into this mountain and then we're kind of like, are we going into this mountain? Like, how are we going to go into this mountain? But we find a way into this mountain and we get in and it's like a convention center in there, except it's empty. And we get in and there's just this bright light and we just see this entire empty convention center and there's nothing there, but we go like way off and we find like a way down and it's almost like spelunking. Like there's not ladders and stuff, like we got to work our way down and we a little bit, and then it opens up to another convention center and we get in there and like the light is so intense and the place is completely empty. And so we're like, is there another way down? We go and we find another way down. We just keep doing this. We keep going down into the darkness. But as we descend, like we're bringing the light. But there's nothing to see. There's nothing there. And so it's just descension, 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 and never catch up to what we're trying to find. And I end up, that ends up being like the end of that dream. But I like, so this is super interesting because it's descending, obviously, like descending, and the light, from what I can tell, is coming from me. And the subconscious is saying, like, I've taken something and I'm burying it further and further down and you can't find it. And so I'm just like, before I think I would be like afraid of that, but I'm like, there's like the athletic part of me that comes out. I'm like, I'm gonna find that thing. I don't even know what it is, but like no fear or anything. Like I just want it. Like if this trap consciousness, I want it. I, whatever it did, like I'm eager to find it. So that's, I mean, it leaves me enthusiastic when it's all over, which is great. The second one, and this is from, it really reminded me when we were talking last week, there's a guide or an agent. Like I have a real hard time telling the difference between the two. But he is concerned with teaching me money laundering. And he sits down and he like has like this whole money laundering projection that he wants to get on me. And I feel like I'm taking it in. Like, I don't even know what it is, but I'm taking it in. And this was really weird because I've been having lots of like seed questions lately about like empathy and like psychic draining. Like I feel like I can get really tired and exhausted. And so it's been just like a question rising naturally. Like, why am I more tired now than like I used to be? And so it's been like, is there like some kind of energetic shielding or control that I'm not aware of? But when it was money laundering, it made me think of that, because that's just currency. But in the spiritual or the subconscious, like, what is the currency? The currency is the energy. And he's talking about money laundering. And for what I received something that he was telling me, but as payment, I went over and I had a beautiful gun case that was like a little suitcase. And I opened it up and it was full of guns, but it was all these beautiful, like antique guns. And there was two like pistol shaped shotguns. And I gave him one of the pistol shotguns, but I was thinking to myself, like, well, I have two anyway. Like, it's not a big, you know, like when you're doing baseball cards and you have doubles. So I just gave him that shotgun and I just made a trade, and that was the end of the deal. Like at the end, like I'm giving this guide something and it's a gun. And I didn't even realize until tonight when I was driving home, because I had just listened to you on the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I just gave either an agent or a guide a gun in my subconscious.
Well, as you were talking, I was wondering if you put two and two together.
I didn't right away until I was driving home tonight. And then I just dawned on me. I'm like, oh my God, I gave somebody a gun on the inside. And so that's what was crazy about that one. And then the last one was the one closest to the morning. And I was flying. I was circling a pyramid that was green. And I got close and I realized it was like green moss, like all over this pyramid, like huge, like the Egyptian pyramid, like a pyramid like that. Lots of foliage and stuff all around it, like no roads leading to it, like overgrown, like a pyramid that had just been overgrown by nature. But it was big enough to where, you know, comes out of the nature. And it was just this beautiful green moss all over the pyramid. And it didn't have a pointy top. It had a flat top. And I stood on the flat top and it lifted up and it started ascending. And as it started ascending, I was like, whoa. And like the flight, I like backed off. And now it almost felt like a change to the overlook window. And I just watched the platform just ascend all the way, like just keep going. And then I woke up. But I remember thinking to myself, and it reminded me of like some of that real adventurous nature. Like what I said was when I saw that pyramid, like, oh, consciousness must have advanced here. Consciousness must, like, instead of like, oh, there was people here, like, oh, there, no, my thought process was consciousness did a number here. Like that's, which made me wonder, like right away, like, dang, is that like a pyramid thought that happens, or an impression that happens from the pyramids? And what is so insane about all this is like, never did I understand I was dreaming in any of these. They seem so hard hitting and so impactful, but it's not like nothing is happening where, and all of it's me, but all of it's me not knowing I'm dreaming.
And that's where I took so much in from that podcast because it was the most encouraging, inspiring timing of a spiritual path, that message that I've ever received. Couldn't believe it. I mean, as time goes by, your mind always tries to infiltrate experiences, and but that was one of those things where it was too good. You can't take that, you know, you can't drum that down with the mind. And you know, the message was very clear to me. I think it was clear to you. Just keep jumping and keep moving forward, and you know, eventually one day you're going to come to your senses. And it's going to be a beautiful moment and an excellent story to tell. And then start having those experiences and finding out what it is to further progress in the astral. That's definitely the direction we're going. And when we started this podcast, I it's crazy because I had what I thought it could look like, but after doing this for however long we've done it since June, I think, I wouldn't have told you in June that this is where the path would be right now.
Right.
I wouldn't have told you that. Like, it's just a path that keeps unfolding as we go. And the evidence is always, it's always led by the evidence of synchronicities. It's always led by that. And when you have them so profoundly, you just stay on that road. You just stay on it. And you don't let frustration or impatience take over the power of synchronicities. It's, they're too strong.
Yeah, the gratitude is a great great place to start in terms of controlling that internal narrative of judging yourself in terms of success or failure. But in the Gnostic app, in terms of like the daily devotional stuff, it's that, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, but the bodhicitta, which is that doing things for the good of everything around you, all the beings around you. I think this might be my next, I mean, it's in order. It's what I'm up to in the Gnostic devotional, but I can, just my introduction to it. And I'm glad we're bringing it up at the end because I'm not prepared to talk on it fully because I think that it requires some more understanding. But just in my like introduction and trying to get a grasp of what this is, it's basically opening yourself up to being the being that's involved in all the beings around you. So instead of like having this grasping of the self, like these are my experiences, this is my progression, this is what I'm trying to do, it's a change in the consciousness where you open yourself up to be a servant to the betterment of everything. And that being the key that like helps unlock some of the spiritual progression, which even as I say that, you can see how careful you have to be, because it's just like when we talk about like giving, like you can't give in order to selfishly get the feeling of feeling good from giving. Like there's a lot of tricky stuff that you have to work through there. But I do think that's going to be one of the next things for me, is really trying to understand that process. Because even now, like after everything, like the impurity that I understand within is all my individuality. That's it. That's where I'm impure, the things that I understand as self. And if I can figure out how to change the consciousness into this, you know, greater state of being where it's taking consideration of others before yourself, I think that might be one of the things that really kind of skyrockets the progression as well.
Sounds right to me. Did want to mention the, I had one more little synchronistic moment where I heard this on the last podcast about the mind and the dog trainer. And I heard it and I understood it right away, just how the mind acts. Just to give you an example, like, he even said it too, like if you had an astral experience a long time ago, the mind tries to, after a certain time, it tries to tell you it wasn't real. But when you have those experiences, they're so real that at the time, no one can take them away from you. But over time, your mind starts to try to take those away from you by trying to tell you, oh, that wasn't real or whatever. But the mind, looking at it as a dog that needs to be trained was pretty substantial for me, because if you look at it in that way, you turn it into, first of all, something kind of animalistic, and then something that needs to be trained. So when you view your mind as something that may be out of control and that needs to have a master, was the words, needs to have a master. And there was someone in my life that was struggling this week, and I had a synchronistic moment because as I was speaking, I remembered this, and I gave a few words of wisdom, and it was a moment for about 5 minutes. And then the next day there was a synchronistic event where there was like this meme thing where it had the mind and it had a dog, like the mind was like a dog. It was just like the octopus card, but it was like a day right. later, and it was a beautiful synchronicity about that whole diagram of, you know, the tail wagging the dog, but that being the mind, and how if the tail wags the dog, that, you know, that's where we have the anxiety and depression, and, you know, we don't have to go into the masses that have that, but it's all under the same simple concept that the mind is out of control and it has no master. And looking at it in simple terms as like a dog, simplicity overwhelmed me in that moment. I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely feels like training. Like that's what we were talking about. Like just the awareness when you're seeing it, you know, respond to the environment, the awareness when you're seeing it, you know, responding to, you know, stuff you're doing on the screen, stuff you're doing on social media, and then the awareness of what you're creating internally with your own memories and your own projections of the future. But it's all, you're right. It's all very animalistic. It's all very, like reactionary, but those are the things that you don't have to be identified with. Those are the things that you want to be, you know, taking the position of the observer. And then like, that's what we're talking about. Like, so the first step would be awareness and trying to understand like how much that manifestation is happening, like all times. And then from there, start to learn more and more training cues where we come in and we take that active role in managing those impressions in order to get the manifestations that we're looking for in our dreams.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. The mind wants to constantly go. And it has some type of connection to your feelings, to where if it does go, kind of suppresses whatever you may be feeling. And, you know, the opposite to that is the mind. It may be enough just to drive down the road and do breath work. You know, the mind doesn't always have to be solving problems. It doesn't always have to be doing something. It can be silent. And I just really got a lot out of, you know, a lot of people and a lot of disturbed people. When you take it to the extreme, the mind is wagging the dog, like, big time. And when that happens, it becomes a monster. And the mind is, you know, obviously we're talking about like the mind of, it gains this like ego strength to where it actually has its own energy and then creates its own entities and creates its own life out of that. But as soon as you start to reverse it, you understand that if it was tamed in the first place, that you would have just let the path unfold beautifully.
Right. The childlike state. Yeah.
Which is the childlike state. Just another way of putting it.
Yeah.
So many different ways to tell the same story.